thank you so much, and what an honor to be here and to be speaking this morning. I thought Dr. Gibbs was going to preach, but we decided he's in the lawyer business, so we've laid him aside and so on. All right. But it's so good to see you. God bless you for being here, and I thank God for this meeting. And I thank God for these who have headed it up. I was telling Brother David last night, I said, I remember Dr. Lee Robertson telling me, and we have quite a layout in our church, you know, a lot of buildings, but not like here. But I remember Dr. Robertson coming up to me, the last building we built, and he said, now, Brother Bobby, God's given you some wonderful facilities here. And he said, have all the conferences you can. Try to encourage all the people you can. They need it. And I have at Highland Park. And I told the pastor the same thing last night. And it's wonderful. I don't know. I hope you're going to keep it here every year. I don't know about that. Maybe I'm running into some of your business. But I think this is a good place to be. And it really is. And it's a joy to be here this morning. I'm not old. I've just been around a while. I've told this. I don't know where to tell it again. B.R. Lakin come in one day, and he said, Brother Bobby, he said, he preached about a dozen revivals for us. And B.R. says, you know, I was trying to win this maid to the Lord in the motel. And he said, I was talking to her. She was cleaning my room, and she said, I don't have no education. And he said, you don't have to have education to get saved. And he told her how. He said, well, Abraham Lincoln didn't have a high school education. And he was the president of the United States. And said, that old maid looked at him and serious and said, is that right? Did y'all go to school together? So I kind of feel like that. I went to school with Abraham Lincoln. Amen. Amen. I don't know where to tell you in the Bible to turn, but I'm going to give you three different scriptures, and I'll be through here by the time and let Dr. Gibbs have it. I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Now that's in the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 5. And then I'm going to read a couple of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And then I'm going to jump over to two or three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That sounds like a long sermon, but it's not. I just want to share something that's been on my heart, and I believe that maybe it'll help. You know, I was sitting in the room last night, and I just got to thinking of the men who's gone on that I miss so much. I was a young preacher. I've been trying to preach last month, 59 years. And the 24th of this month, I'll be saved 61 years. So I was a young man, and I heard these men, and we had the joy of having quite a few of them in the church. At Gospel Light, I could tell you a story. Talk about Lester Rolaw. I flew with him three or four times. I won't go into that this morning, but we had a good time. And let me tell you this one right quick about Brother Rolaw. One day he was preaching at Highland Park, or in the Tennessee Temple, in the chapel service. And he was at our church that night. He said, Brother Bobby, won't you fly with me to Chattanooga in the morning? And he said, I'll bring you back. I'm going up there and preach in their chapel, 10, 11 o'clock, whenever it was. That's okay. And Brother Bob Barber was pastor over in Danville at that time. And so he went with us. And one of his young men was learning to fly a plane. And so Brother Roloff and this young man who was going to be a pilot was sitting in the front of a four-seated plane. And Brother Barber and I were sitting in the back. And that night we heard on home from church. And Steve, and most of you know Steve, I appreciate and thank God for my boy. And he's here this morning. But anyway, Steve was at that time, he was a student at Temple. So we heard home, and he liked pound cakes so good. And my wife baked one that night, and it was in a little tin things, whatever. And I was taking it to him. He didn't know it was coming. And so here I'm sitting in the back, Brother Roloff in front, Brother Barber here, and then this pilot, little young pilot over here. We're somewhere between home and Chattanooga. And I said to Brother Barber, I said, I got a pound cake in this box right here between my legs. I said, boy, it'd be good. We hadn't had any breakfast. And we left 6 that morning. Brother Roloff said, you boys are hungry. Some apples back there. And it's them old horse apples, we call it, you know, Man, we didn't want that. But we was talking, Brother Barber and I, and I said, we got a pound cake here. And wouldn't it be good? And Brother Barber said, boy, if we had some coffee. And I happened to be looking at Brother Roloff, but he didn't see. And boy, he hit that old stick and that old plane and started going like this, you know. Old Brother Barber, he turned pale and he said, what's wrong, Brother Roloff? He said, every time coffee's mentioned in this thing, it always does. I can tell you a whole lot. Lester Roloff. Let me say this, and I'm going to read my scripture. I just put out a bunch of fellows here that I knew that I had the joy of fellowshipping with. We had him several times at Gospel Light. He told me one day, he said, Brother Bobby, I want you to pray. There's two businessmen that have told me in the next few months or so that they're going to give us $500,000 apiece for the work in Corpus. And he was excited. And he said, boy, I'm going to do this, this, and this. Next time he came to our church, I said, how are you, Brother Roloff? And he said, I've been let down, the worst that ever happened in my ministry. Well, you know, he served time in jail because he wouldn't accept. So I didn't know what it was. I said, what happened? He said, Brother Bobby, you know, I told you about those two businessmen that was going to give us $500,000. He said, they came to me and said, Brother Roloff, you're a little too hard on some things. I didn't ask him what. He didn't tell me. And said, you're going to have to let up on these things before we give you this money. And so I had to tell him I wasn't for sale. Amen. That's why I miss people like that. Amen. I wasn't for sale. Amen. I was thinking about him. Dr. Bill Rice, 50 years or more ago, I had the joy of attending the first Southwide Baptist Fellowship for 41, 42. I only missed two of them. Dr. Bill Rice wasn't at the, I don't mean the first one, but he was at the old Brentwood Baptist Church down in Florida, in Pensacola, right. And, of course, the college wasn't there then. Four or five of us preachers went down, and he preached. And I want to just share this thought. Now I'm getting to my sermon in a little while. But Dr. Rice, I've used this many times in trying to ordain. In fact, I preached on it Sunday night at our church. Dr. Bill Rice said, always watch. Keep three things straight in your ministry, and you'll get along pretty good. And I've noticed when a person falls, it's usually in the area of these three. One of them was, keep your distance from the opposite sex. And the other one is keep your finance straight. And the other one was keep your doctrine straight. And boy, that's wisdom, isn't it? Dr. Bill Rice Sr. gave us that in those days. So it'd be good to take that. I preached it to our church. It's not only good for preachers, it's good for everybody. And this past Sunday night, I got me a sermon on it. But I was thinking about J.B. Buffington, how he used to stand. Great preacher of the missions. And you know, and Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles taught me how to win souls personally when I, in the late 50s, 57, 58, I came to Pastor Gospel Light in 1956 of July. I didn't know how you won people. Lord, I was saved at an altar, and we'd go out each week and invite people to church. And I just thought, get them there and get them down to the altar and get them saved. And I know some of you are smarter than that, but I never thought it. And I heard Dr. Hiles on that Romans Trail. Wasn't those books back then. And in a conference, he acted out how to go about, knock on the door, and taught me how to win souls. 2 days later, I won my first two people to Christ in their home. The man's in heaven. Now his wife is still in our church. And so on. But I think of those men. Dr. Rice was with us. We had the joy of going down the country. One of our old farmers wanted to fix him a meal. We enjoyed having a meal there and so many things. And Dr. Robertson, what a blessing. That's Southwide. The first time I was ever at Highland Park was at a Southwide. And I got so stirred up with Lee Robertson, I wanted to start knocking on doors next door of that church. He just, God used him to stir my heart. Throw this thought out to you right quick. In his latter days, he was with us at Gospel Light, and he said, I want you and Brother Steve to consider. You know, Steve worked with me 29 years. He said, I want you to consider something, Bobby. I said, what's that? He said, I want to see a school started just for preachers. Just for preachers. You know how he talked. He said, preacher needs three subjects, Bible, English, and history. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. And I want you boys to start one just for preachers. So many things you could say about these fellows. Dr. Faulkner preached for us. What a man of God. Dolphus Price, great man of God. I remember those fellows. Oliver Green preached a three-night revival for me back in 1966. Oliver came, you know, we're 200 miles from Greenville. He got to preach on Monday night. And he said, well, I answered letters. I know he's on 125 radio stations daily at that time. He said, I answered mail today before I came up here. He said, I got a letter from a station in California. And he said, I answered that one right quick. He said, Brother Green, you're a little too strong on some things, and we want you to be thinking about this now. We don't have to take you off our station. But you think about it now. And he said, I answered that one before I left. This is what he said. I told him he could put that station in the ocean out there before I'd compromise with him. We need some Oliver Greens, don't we, fella? Yes, sir. Harold Seidler was one of my heroes. What a man. Harold Seidler preached 28 revivals for me. One of the men who walked so close to God. Never told this before, but one day we were sitting in my office, and he said, Brother Bobby, I thought about this when Brother Sexton was preaching last night. He said, don't many fellows stay friends too long. Let you and I just plan to be friends for life. That's unusual for Dr. Seidler. You know, he never had many words. But he was such a blessing. Jack Hudson was 100 miles from me. What a man of God. He's with the Lord now. Dr. Stevens started Piedmont Bible College about 8 miles from me. I used to go there and ask for advice. Man of great wisdom. Dr. Malone. Lord, how many times did he preach for? Old Dr. Malone says, I like preaching. He said, I like good preaching. He said, I like preaching so good, sometime I like bad preaching. Tom Malone, what a man of God. And then Curtis Hudson, what a blessing he was. Curtis used to preach two-week revivals for me before he ever went in with the sword or in evangelism. I remember one night, Steve and I were sitting on the front row, and Doc was up, and he said, I know the Lord showed Brother Bobby this and showed Brother Bobby that and showed Bobby. He was just going on and on. Steve looked over me and said, Daddy, did God show you all? And I said, I wasn't trying to be smart. I said, he didn't show me nothing. And he went and told Curtis about that. Curtis said, you messed my sermon up. We had Dr. Bob Jones Sr. to preach. I remember this. I went to Winston-Salem, you know, we're 8 miles out, the old Robert Eda Hotel, picked up one Sunday morning. And we were running about 500 then. We had no paving around or anything in several buildings. We pulled up. He said, well, pretty good crowd here, looks like. How many do you have? I said, about 550. He hung that big old brown overcoat on, hung it up there in the vestibule, and he said, well, he said, I think I'll preach on following Jesus this morning. He made his mind up right there what he's going to preach. He got up and preached on following Jesus for an hour. Great man of God. And on down the line, E.J. Daniels, I remember him. J. Harold Smith preached for us. And so on. I could go on. I just jotted them names, and I didn't mean to miss anyone. But when you get up my age and you cut your teeth under men like that, it says, God, give us some more. We need it. We need it today, folks. We need it. And I just want to share that thought with you this morning. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 5, notice what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is you and I who are pastors right here. Listen, feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. And then Paul is talking to the young preacher Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to," you notice that word, "faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." And one more scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and the first two verses. Paul said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." If I were to choose a topic this morning, I noticed over here, pressing towards the mark, I like that. I just add and let that be my topic. Press towards the mark of faithfulness in the work of God. Of faithfulness in the work of God. Now, what I'm going to say this morning, I'm not saying it because I've been pastor of Gospelite forever. God forbid. I mean, God moves me, and I hope he don't ever move me. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, said, "You have somebody in mind, a pastor?" And I said, "No." He said, "Who do you think will be pastor here after you're gone?" I said, "The Antichrist." The rapture's going to take place. We're going to turn it all over to him. Let him have it. Amen. That's right. So God's running this business. But folks, I see in every area where we need faithfulness, people need to see that in the hard times and tough times that we still stand true. You know, any old chunk can float going downstream, but it takes the grace of God to go against the current. You ever thought about that? It really does. And people like some of these that I've mentioned, and even more, all of them as far as that goes, have been faithful, was faithful people. And you and I need to be faithful in the work of the Lord. Talking about Dr. Seitler, I heard him preach a few years ago. I may have preached at our church that, and Doc had that deep voice, you know. And he said, I heard a fellow say the other day, "If somebody don't come down the aisle every week, I'll die." Dr. Seitler said, "God help him, he won't live long." We'd like to see it, wouldn't we? Some folks say, "Well, as long as I can see God moving, I'm going to stay." Well, you might as well just keep your pack going all the time, because you're going to keep moving, my friend. There's some endurance and heartaches and battles, and people need to see in my life and your life some faithfulness during all of those things. I want to just share a few thoughts, and won't have time, all of them. It's about 6, 7 of them, I think. I want to say, number one, let's be faithful in standing on the Word of God. You know, back when I started preaching, I fought the call for a long time, and I wouldn't go through it. And the only reason I was scared to death, I couldn't stand up before 10 people in a Sunday school class without just getting so nervous. Another thing, I'm not proud of it. I'm an ignorant fellow. I'm not like the old boy said, "I'm glad I'm ignorant. I want to get ignorant. I'm not that. But I didn't get a chance to go to college. You know what they used to say back when I started in that little church where I was at? They said there's two kinds of preachers, and that's the God called and educated. And I knew God called. No one asked me to go to school anywhere as far as that goes, and all of that. That's what I'm saying. But listen, I preached for several years, and I never thought about anything but the King James Version of the Bible. I mean, today, preachers, don't spend your time trying to prove that it's the Word of God and arguing fuss out of this crowd. Just go ahead and preach it. It'll work, my friend. And I'm saying, number one, that let's stand true to preaching the Word of God, my friend. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp than any two-edged sword. I remember years ago, a man moved in across our road from where we was living. I went over to see him and I invited him to church. And he said, "I'm not a church man." He said, "I really don't know where I believe in hell or not." And we kept talking, and he said, "Well, since you're my neighbor, I guess I ought to come hear you preach. And I said, yeah. And he came. It wasn't my preaching, it was the word of God. You know how many times he came? One time. And when I give an invitation, here he come down the aisle weeping. I'm talking about a man 35, 40 years old. And I said, what about it? He said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to get saved. What was it? It was the word of God got a hold of it, my friend. And you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. Bless God. It's a wonderful book. I've been studying it for years, and I don't know a whole lot about it now. But every time I read it, I get something. I say, well, I've never seen that before. That's God's word, my friend. So much I can say. So just stick to the word of God. All the time. You say, preacher, my church seems awful dead and dry. Well, just give them the word. Just keep on preaching the word, my friend. So much. You know, John 15, 3 says you're clean through what? The word. You remember what the psalmist said? Ask the question, wherewith shall a young man cleanse himself? By taking heed to the word of God. Don't get in this stuff that we're in a different day, and we are in a different day. But my friend, the same word that changed my life when I was 17 years old will still change a 17-year-old or 15-year-old. And you don't have to try to hunt something up and all of that. Just give them the word of God and it'll change them. You know that. And let's don't get away from this blessed old book, my friend, the blessed word of God. Oh, I've seen it happen so many times. I think about old John the Baptist. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against concerts and all this stuff at the right time. If you want them, you can have them. But don't let nothing take place of the preaching the word of God. Some time ago, a fella called me, and he could be here today. He wanted to put on a concert on Sunday night, and he went on and on. He said, you'd enjoy it, and your people would, Brother Bobby. And I said, sir, I don't mean to hurt you, but we are preaching every Sunday night and have for years, and by the grace of God, we'll continue preaching the word of God. Old John the Baptist, thank God for good singing. He didn't come playing a guitar. Bless God, he came preaching. And we need some old-fashioned anointed of God just preaching the word of God, my friend. I don't care what a kind of outline we have. That's good. Everything ought to be done in decent and order. Well, let me tell you, without the touch of God and the preaching of the word of God, I hear some of these people tell me it's hard to find a place that just preaches anymore. And that's sad. And I'm saying let's be faithful in that thing of preaching. And I put down here something else. Let's be faithful in trying to watch to us who are pastors and watch to protect our people. Now, I won't have time to turn to these scriptures, but you know them in Acts chapter 20 when Paul, you know, when it was left and called the Ephesian elders together and going up to Jerusalem. And he said, now, after I'm gone, there's grieves of wolves are going to creep in. And then he said, you got some of your own congregations going to rise up too. And so we just need to protect our. I never will forget years ago. We've had a school for 35, 36 years. I believe it's 36 years. And, you know, colleges, they call, and that's fine and good, and want to send a group in before the high school and tell them about it. And that's good. But I remember we got a college from another state years ago wanting to come. And I didn't know it was a hyper-Calvinist outfit. And one of my young men felt called to preach. And he believed God wanted him there. And he was there for 3 or 4 months, and he called me. And he said, Pastor, this is hyper-Calvinist. Said, this thing's hard-shell Baptist up here. He said, what am I going to do? And he transferred to Temple. That was back many years ago. But I always felt guilty if I, as pastor, had been watching and not let that come in. You understand what I mean? Then that boy wouldn't have went out there. He was expecting his pastor to have the right kind of people. And I'm going to say, friend, men, you need to protect our congregations. We need to protect. Listen, as Dr. Roberts, everything falls and rises on leadership. And we need to watch this thing about protecting our people, you see. So much of this thing. I mean, you better be careful about your singing groups that come in, you know. And all of that. One called me a while back and wanted to come, quartet or something. And we have some singing in our church. And I said, God bless. I try to be a nice fellow. And I said, God bless you. I said, where do you go to church at? It was a town where I'd preached a whole lot in. And he told me that where he's from. And I said, where do you go to church at? And he stomped around, and he said, well, really, we just kind of stay on the road. And I didn't see it, but I want to say, just keep going on the road. We don't need you. We don't need you. Folks, we got to have some men who try to protect our pulpits and our churches today. I can't stand this junk of these fellows stretching, come as you are, come as you are. Man, if you got a bus ministry, you'll bring some things in that don't even look human. It'd be bad enough. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying this thing of come as you are. That Sunday morning, I sat down there in the living room and turned the TV on, and there's a fella preaching up there with his shirt tail hanging out. And I said, God help him. My wife, turn that mess off. I don't care what. I don't even want to see it. I believe we ought to respect the house of God. Listen, when old David, you remember when his baby died, and the Bible said he arose, he changed his garment and went into the house of God. And I'm saying, if me and you stress that stuff, my friend, and listen, you can't win people to God by using the world. The world hates Jesus Christ. And I want to say to some of you young preachers, don't get your mind to, have a vision without a vision, men pray. But don't get your mind on trying to have a big church. You let God add to it. Every church is not going to be a large church. Because if you're not careful, you get your eyes on the world and you'll try to use the world's attractions to bring them in. And you ain't got nothing but a bunch of flesh when you do that. Protect our people and work on it all the time and protect them. I could go on a whole lot there. Then I'll put down a third thing here that means you need to be faithful in watching and seeking, and that's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. You remember what James chapter 3 said? God's wisdom is what? It brings peace, you see, and so on. And I need wisdom, and you need wisdom. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is in James 1:5. If any man lacks wisdom, and I come up against things every day, I don't have the sense to know what to do. But my Father's got it. And if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, upbraids not to him, it shall be given. Sometimes somebody comes, well, Brother Bobby, I didn't know you was that wise. I said, what do you mean? Well, this thing, I said, wait a minute, don't you give me any credit. I'm not wise, but he's wise. He knows, and I want to say, folks, everybody here has problems every day, and you don't know what to do about it. But God said if we'll ask him for wisdom and listen to him, he'll give us the wisdom we need for that problem. And I'm saying faithful, let's be faithful in seeking God's wisdom every day of our life. Let's be faithful about that in doing that. You've got marriage problems in your church. You've got on and on and on. I was thinking this morning, I was thinking about a church that's been 45, Lord, I don't know how many years. I say 45 years ago. It's a little church about 20 miles from me. It was called Dry Holler. That's what and the reason it had its name Dry Holler because there's many bootleggers. And this fella had a little Baptist church there, and he asked me to preach. And a little block building. And he and I got out there and knocked on doors and won some of those people to the Lord. And I remember, you know, we used to have meetings, you know, and just let God close them, you know. Now we've got 2 or 3 days and that's it. We call them revivals. But anyway, we went 2 weeks. That pastor, and people stood around inside every night. Didn't have no sitting room. Had chairs, everything. And folks getting saved. And it's amazing. It's amazing what happened. And that pastor, he was a good man. He's with the Lord now. I'm talking about this thing of wisdom. And he said, Brother Bobby, he said, before I came here, that there's an elderly woman about 75 years old lives down in this area, and said she had made a profession. And said she, I said they baptized, she joined this church here. Came for a while. And said she hadn't been here a long time, and I understand she's bootlegging liquor again. That fellow's sharing with me this. And he said, I tell you, when this revival's over, he said, I'm going to bring her up, her name up, for us to mark her off our church roll. And I've thought about this. I wished that I'd have thought about some things and helped that fella. And he did. The next week, we had a two-week meeting. And the next week after that, he got up and said, folks, I want to recommend you, whatever her name was, that we mark her name off. I've been told that she's out on her back bootlegging liquor again. And one fellow jumped up and said, well, preach, if you're going to do that, how about so-and-so? He's running around with somebody's wife. And wait a minute. They got in a fuss and split up. That's been over 40 years ago. And the little group went out 5-6 miles and started another church. And I doubt if either one of those places had 20 last Sunday. And you say, what are you trying to do, brother? I'm saying I wish that I could have talked to that man. You can't keep, I know what the Bible says about false all that, but you just can't keep your roll clean. But see, he went after that thing sincerely. But he didn't have the wisdom to know how to do it. And it split the church all to pieces. And listen, like I said, I can't say enough about this. But I have problems and you have problems every day. And you're wondering which way. I call Dr. Gibbs sometime to try to find out. But you wonder which way to go. And that's when we need to begin to ask God to give us wisdom. He'll do it right when you can't. That's what I'm trying to say. And so let's be faithful in that area of asking for wisdom. And then I put down another thing here. Let's be faithful to win souls. One of the preachers said last night that we preach it, but we don't practice it much. Let me say, young preacher, if you got the idea that you're going to be a pastor and sit back in an office and designate stuff, you just forget about being a pastor. You just forget about it. I mean, if you're too lazy to work, just go somewhere else. Don't do that. Man, I'm meeting in hospitals. I'm meeting with folks. We got a new pastor, and he says it's not his place to visit. It's his place to designate it. God help us with that. My friend, it's my place to win souls too. If I personally don't try to win people, I ought to have people down now just like the rest of my people. That's what I'm talking about. And let's don't get so busy and get so tied up. And boy, I do that. And leave off this thing of soul winning. Last week, I had the blessed privilege. I was in the hospital. A lot of times I'll have 8 and 10 calls in one hospital. And I can't remember when we haven't had members in the hospital. But this is what. And one fellow said, preacher wrote me a little note. One of my fellows sits back up in the balcony, quiet, but there 3 times a week, you know. And he said, I got a sister in the hospital. Would you visit her? And I was begging God to help me win somebody to the Lord. And I'd visit my members, and I went on into this, met this sister. And I said, I'm J.C. Calloway's pastor. You know, he's your brother. Yeah. Poor lady, about 75, 80 years old. Oxygen in her nose, you know. And here's a guy sitting on his side, looked like he's in his 40s, and a lady on his side. And I said, I want you to know we're praying for you at Gospel Line. I want to have prayer with you. She said, all right. I said, ma'am, let me ask you, have you been saved? She said, no, I haven't. I like that. I like to meet up with people like that. Well, bless God, that dear-old soul, I told her how to be saved, and she got saved. I mean, she prayed right out loud, Lord, I'm a sinner. And then I looked up, and I said, how about you? He didn't know what to say. He said, I think I get saved every day. And I said, let me tell you, I'd give him the scripture, and he got saved. And then by that time, he's getting so rich in that room, his wife's sitting on the other side of the bed. He's a son, and I said, hey, she said, I want to too. I like to get in places like that. Amen. We got a fella got saved, let me tell you, we got a fella got saved about 2 months ago. And Walnut Cove is a little town about 12, 14 miles from it. And one of our ladies just gave the man a tract. Old country fella, I mean, he's poor in country and big old man, and he comes and slips in the bag. But he'd come for 4 or 5 weeks, and I'd see somebody raise their hand on Sunday night, and I couldn't tell exactly where he was. And a few weeks ago, he wouldn't come. And I said, you're going to put it off too long. And after service, I'm standing around here talking. Here comes this big fella. I like to not recognize him. And he said, did I put it off too long? Did I put it off too long after serving? And I was trying to think, what are you talking? He said, you said don't put it off too long. I met fellows. I said, no, you didn't put it off too long. And I led him to the Lord. He's about 65 years old. He says, my family is an awful mess. But he got up off his knees. He said, no, you didn't put it off. I didn't put it off too long because I feel it. I feel it, preacher. I said, yeah, be times you can't feel it, but you face it anyhow. That fellow's a blessing. And he'd come to me after service, you know, and he's, I hadn't baptized him yet. He's so scared to get around from people. He'd slip in the back. I never seen a man so bad, but he'll hang around and about everybody's gone. He'll slip up and he said, boy, that helped me a whole lot. Just keep praying. I'm going. Folks, I love that. And you do too. And let's spend time in soul winning. Now, let me say this. Not only I'm talking about being faithful in the word of God. And then here's one, is waiting upon the Lord. Boy, that's a tough one. You remember what Isaiah 40 says? If we wait on the Lord, what do? He'll renew our strength. I've made a lot of messes in my life. And some of them have been not just waiting on God. One day, Brother Clarence has been, he may not realize it, but it's been some years ago. I don't know. We was just talking one day on the phone. He said, hey, Brother Bobby, let me give you a good one today. And he quoted to me John 14:14. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold ye your peace. Well, I knew that, but I needed that. The Lord shall fight for you. Hold ye your peace. You know, I find out all the time, if I'm determined, God will let me fight my battles. I'll make a mess of them. But if I learn to wait on him, just wait on the Lord. You say, I can't stand. Then you go back there in Exodus 14. Pharaoh's army coming in behind you. That water out there in front of you. And then you stand still. We think we can't. But let me tell you, folks. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. You remember when old David went against the Philistines and come back. And there they are again. But he went to God again. And God said, don't take off out there right now. You go over and watch your mulberry trees. You see, he waited. And when the old mulberry said, God says, when that happens, you go on in there then. We've got to learn to wait upon the Lord. Back here years ago, I'd been to Gospel Light 5 years. I'm a second pastor. The church was there. The other men stayed there 7 years. God's given me an unusual ministry. I was born in an old house 2 miles from where I'm pastoring. And my home church is 3 miles from me. And I remember someone coming in this area that said, put up a gospel tent. Then later, start a church, Gospel Light. I never thought of being a pastor. And he went into evangelism. But anyway, I remember we had 153 our first Sunday in Sunday school. And God bless. Man, we used to go out to get an old pond somewhere and baptize 50 and 60 at one time. We didn't have a baptistry. And I had a hard time getting them convinced it's all right to get baptized in a baptistry after that. But what I started to say, I was there for 5 years. I can't remember when I was 24. I was there for 5 years, and I had a heart attack one Sunday morning. I was laid in the hospital for 21 days. For a few days, I didn't think I'd make it. And then I come out of the hospital. We'd grown to 5 and 550. And then I had to recuperate all that stuff out for a long time. And one day, one of my men came to me, one of the deacons. He said, preacher, we've got some awful trouble. I said, what's the matter? He said, I hate to bother you, but I know you're a sick man. He said, somebody is starting a petition through the church trying to get us deacons out. Well, I said, they put my name on. That's not right. Well, this is what I'm trying to say right here, just a short story. 2 days later, I had them to take me. I couldn't walk up steps. And they took me up in a chair and I sat down over here and tried to call a special meeting. That was one of the offices. I despise these business meetings. That thing got so nasty. And it went on and on and on and on. And finally the church split. And it wasn't a petition. Maybe they meant, I never even know who started. Maybe it was meant for that, but the petition didn't say get the deacons out. It was asking for a rotating deacon board. I didn't know. I just, when they said you'd be our pastor, I took off. And I wondered, but the first 8 or 10 years, my family and I'd go out at the end of the year and stand out somewhere, and they'd vote where to keep us or not. But they had 7 deacons, and they had a little constitution. I'd never seen a constitution of all that trouble come, and they showed it to me. This church was set up that you couldn't have more than 7 deacons. Or you couldn't have less than 7, because bless God, the Bible said 7. And they're to serve, everybody else vote on every year, and they're to serve lifetime. So evidently somebody got started. And anyway, this is what I'm trying to say. We had a split, and I had a nervous breakdown. And I'm not patting myself, I'm just trying to tell you something, maybe help somebody else. And I got so sick of trying to preach in that place. I said, God, you don't want me here. I mean, I don't believe the Lord wants a man here. Went on about Friday, Saturday, getting nauseated, thinking I've got to go back in that place on Sunday again. If you ever come to Gospel Light, our last auditorium, it's a little small auditorium downstairs. And my boy Steve said, Daddy, you thought so much of Dr. Seitler. Why don't you name it Harold Seitler? And I did. It's called the Harold Seitler Auditorium downstairs there. But Dr. Seitler preached a lot in our area at that time. And I went over and talked to him somewhere he's preaching around. I said, Doc, pray for me. I said, I'm about to die. I weighed 212, and I got down 140, some about 143 pounds. Couldn't eat. And I said, I guess I'm going to have to leave. He said, no, you're not, Brother Bobby. And I said, I'm going to die. God's grace is sufficient, son. You stand still. And I said, but I can't stand to preach. Oh, yeah. I said, never have nobody saved. He said, all I can hear is how the crowd's getting along down the road 5 miles. Dr. Seitler said, let me tell you, son. He called me son back then. He said, you stand still. God's grace is sufficient. Where you see or feel or anything, you stand still. Where you get sick or not, you stand still. Well, I can hear that coarse voice now. By the grace of God, I stood still. Fellas, I almost missed the will of God for my life. I stood still. And I'm giving God the praise. And when you go from 550 down to 250 and 300 next Sunday, that knocks the glory out of you. And when you're having people saved all the time and you don't have nobody saved, you know, it's pretty easy to ask God something and then tell him the answer, isn't it? It really is. But God used Harold Seitler to keep my feet to the fire. I can't remember 2 or 3 years passed, and I didn't see a 900-foot Jesus or nothing. Don't misunderstand me. But it seemed like one Sunday, heaven opened. And it seems like that I could see Jesus through that cloud. And it echoed in my mind, son, you didn't know where I was at. You couldn't see me, but I could see you all the time. Yeah, I could see you. And I'm going to tell you, there's never a man ever lived that enjoys pastoring his church any more than one you're looking at now. I'm not trying to set anything in. I'm just trying to please God. I know them people heard me preach everything that I know and some things I don't know. But I'm just saying, this is only God. It can be God. I had rather preach at the old Gospelite Baptist Church. I'm very seldom ever going on a Wednesday night or Sunday. They may get tired of it, but they keep coming. And I love it. And only God can do that. I'm so excited about Wednesday night. I got to preaching last Wednesday night on prayer. I had 5 points and didn't give but one of them. I'm going back at it Wednesday night again. But I want to share that because you may be the same problems. But we better be careful. And I'll close with this thought. But that thing of the will of God. You think of them in the Bible, and I've got about 5 minutes, 10 minutes here. You think about it in the Bible. What a man David was. You remember how Saul tried to kill him. But you remember what he said in 1 Samuel 27? There's only one thing that I can do, and that's go into the land of the Philistines. I don't care if it's you or who. It's never right for God's children to yoke up with the Philistines. But pressure can get us that away. I think about the book of Ruth. Naomi, Elimelech, and their two boys is doing fine. There's in the land of bread and praise, Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. But when you're there, some time of famine comes. You see what I mean? And all at once, can't you see, one or the other of them looked at the other and said, it looks better. Oh, we aren't no more about it. We better get out of here. It's never right to go to the land of the Moabites. You can go on. Abraham, what a man of God he was. And he's following where God said, walking by faith. God says, get out. But he gets over there a few days and there's a famine. And he said, Sarah, we better go down to Egypt. Let me say, young preacher, there may be a famine going on, but you stand. You stand. You just stand. And it's easy for us to miss God's will. This preacher called me about 6-7 years ago. You wouldn't know him. Some of you might. He's been in this church 12, 14 years. And he said, Brother Bobby, do you know of a church that needs a pastor? This is what he said in his conversation. He said, I've battled two deacons here about as long as I can. And he said, I don't believe God wants me to keep staying here. If you know of a church, and I'm not smart, but something hit my mind, and I said, his name, first name's Paul. And I said, Paul, you reckon these deacons are leading you away or God's leading you away? And I said, let's pray about that thing. I joined him in prayer, and about 6 months he called me, and he said, thank you, Brother Bobby. Bless God, them two headaches are gone. And you know what he done? His church has grown, and he's built a larger auditorium now. And that's been 7, 8, 10 years ago. See, he almost missed the will of God. The will of God. These things, I believe, are some just down-to-earth things, but we ought to work on them. The will of God. God has a will for your life. God has a will for my life. How do we know? Check it out by the Word of God. A few years ago, we have this, you know, quite often. And this man and woman eloped on Sunday afternoon. Man's left his wife. The woman left her husband. So they're, I call it shacking up. It's shacking up. 4 or 5 months, 3 or 4 months passed. Of course, I didn't see them. And I was in the hospital one day, walking down the Scythe Hospital in the hall, and here she come. I never asked her what she's doing. She had to meet me. She said, I know you think it's awful, but God meant for me and him to be together all the time. So I said, you shut your mouth. Don't you tell me no stuff. Don't try to tell me it's a will of God for you to run off with some other man. How you know, preacher? The Bible tells you better than that. That's what I'm saying. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please use these things I believe the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. And help me to practice these things, Lord, every day of my life. And help us all to be faithful. Lord, I think about the church at Smyrna, where it was going through so many trials. And you told the people there, I know that you've been, some of you been going to prison, some of you been killed. But you said, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Help us all to be faithful, God. Bless this meeting. Keep it true to the blessed word of God till Jesus comes. We pray in his precious name. Amen.